I thank you all for that. And now let me gather us together around the reading of God's Word. And today it's in Psalm 8. And God's Word says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands, and have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and all the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. Your thought for today is, we are to be the revealers of God's name in the world. We are to be the revealers of God's name in the world. How majestic is your name, the psalmist starts at. You can imagine, says a psalm of David, you can imagine perhaps David lying out in the sheep fields and looking up at the stars at night as he watched over that flock and just seeing everything that God had created. And in his limited mind at that time, he probably didn't realize of the worlds that were out there. But he was able to look up into the heavens and see what God has created and what God had called good and the immensity of it. And he was overwhelmed by it. And he was overcome by how great God's name is. When you have a friend, and that friend's name comes into your mind, you immediately begin to think of the personalities of that individual, the qualities of that individual. That name makes an impact. That name has significance. It has meaning. That name then represents that individual in the mind of that friend or the enemy. And so when you think of a name there, that name comes in there, and that personality, all of those attributes come in. And that's what David is talking about here when he talks about how majestic is your name. Because when we think of the name of God, all of the attributes, all of the qualities of God spill in. And we begin to reflect upon how majestic he is, how awesome he is, how great he is, how he has put his name in all of the earth. It's like he has signed this great creation that we live in and dwell in and work in and love in. He has signed it with all of his might and with all of his power. And his name, like his word, is to be all over creation, reminding us. It's above the heavens. It's in all of the earth. God wants his word to be everywhere. As we encourage this young family to make that very same thing happen in your home, that God's word will be there so that little Delaney can grow up in it, surrounded by it. The same thing with the family members as they show their love for this young family, especially little Delaney here. How that God's word is to surround this individual. How it is to be everywhere. How it is to impact us. We are to take God's word with us no matter where we go, because we are his church. Sometimes we forget that. We think of church as this building. We go to church on Sunday. We go to church on Wednesday or at other times during the week. And we think that's church. But church is us. We are God's word being spread out among the world. We are God's name, if you will, being spread out among the world. And that is the mindset of God's people, to be the revealer of that name. Just as his creation speaks into the world of his wonderful makeup, so his name being revealed through us now makes that same name known among the nations. He says here that out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength. The cry of an infant is one of need, and that need of directed toward those that can satisfy those needs. When those moms and dads hear that baby's cry, they come to attend to that baby's needs. And it's a cry of weakness. And what the psalmist is talking about here is that out of weakness comes strength. Out of weakness comes strength. God's strength is established through being the provider of our needs. God's strength is established by being the provider of our needs. We have that relationship with Him. Your children come to you because they see you as one who is able and capable of providing whatever that need is that they come to you and ask you for. And as we, children of God, come to Him, as we've been directed by Christ in the teaching us of the Lord's Prayer, that we are to come and we are to ask God for our needs. And so it sets us in relationship to the child and the father, and that in that father's love and providential care, He is able to meet our needs. And that gives us that strength, because we know that there is one there that can meet our needs. We know that there is one there that we can go to when we are weak, when we need to be comforted. But I think there's another meaning here too, because it says, out of the mouth of babes, you have established strength because of your foes. It is also a message to evil, that as God brings His people into the world, as we have just seen here this morning, as little Delaney has come and she's been baptized, as God speaks and God's people come, it's a message to evil that God will not be defeated, that God will raise up whatever means is necessary to stand in the face of evil. When you as a child of God resist evil, we stand against it. That is what resisting evil. We stand against evil by being its opposite. We resist it by not surrendering to it. And it is a personal battle. When we think God's fighting against evil, how does He fight against evil? By raising up His people. Each time you say no to sin, you are resisting evil. Each time you say no to sin, you are standing up against evil, and you are saying that it will not overtake this world, that it will not overtake the kingdom of God, that I am a child of God, that I can stand in this face of evil and I can say no, that I have that strength. And that comes on that act of faith. The faith that we have that God is that provider, that child-father relationship. That God can provide to us the strength that we need to stand in that face of evil. And to have Him as our fatherly provider. And in standing against that, we show judgment upon us. Proverbs 25 says, "If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you." What I mean by showing judgment is what that verse is about. When it says burning coals of fire on his head, you could say, well, maybe that was just the heat of anguish, knowing that someone was trying to do evil, and instead of accomplishing evil, good was returned. But I think what it's talking about here is more in the line of judgment, that coals were also a symbol of judgment. And so as we stand against evil, we point it out. That's a lot of times what judgment is. We point it out. We have judged that this action is evil. And as we stand against it, we resist giving in to that impulse to act on human emotion and to feed into that evil. Sometimes talk about here, you know, if you're in the checkout line and maybe somebody is didn't handle your business the way that you think they should have handled it, and you're walking out of your car and all these little thoughts go through your mind, man, I wish I could have told him or her so and so and so and so. That is the subtlety of sin that creeps into all of us. And what God wants us to stand against as His people. We stand against evil by being its opposite. We resist it by not surrendering to it. And then in the magnificence, when I look into your heavens and see the work of your fingers and the moon and the stars that you have set in place, what am I that you are mindful of me? He says, mankind. It's easy to get lost in our insignificant. It's easy to get lost and say, what does it matter what I think? What does it matter what I do? It's easy to get so lost in our insignificance that we just fail to do anything. Because, as I said, we get so caught up in the world is so big and I'm just me. But this psalm is here to tell us that in our insignificance, we are reminded of our purpose here on earth. for man was made a little lower than the heavenly beings. What culture wants us to see is that man and the animals are all the same, that there is no difference. And so as we go about our existence here on earth, we are tempted to give in to the same kind of desires, motives that drive even the brutish of the beasts. And we want our desires to drive us. We want our emotions to drive us. We want everything to drive us except God's truth and God's word. But here the psalmist is reminding us that mankind was created differently. We did not just arise out of another species. We were created significantly and with a purpose. And what is that purpose? You have given him dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet. Now, with authority comes responsibility. With authority comes responsibility. Someone has given you a house to live in. Would you not take care of it? If someone had granted you a place to stay and says, here, you can have this and use it just like it's your own, would you not appreciate it and take care of it? And that's what all of us need to remember about this world in which we live. That it is here for our use, but it is also here for us to take care of as the home that God has provided for us. And to not take it for granted, but to be appreciative and allow the things that we encounter each day in this great and wonderful world to remind us of the hand of the loving Father that has provided it for us. Just the beauty of the sunrises, of the sunsets, the refreshing feel of a cool breeze that may come upon you. All of those things to remind us of the hand of God at work in His world. To give to us the good things that make life enjoyable. But what sin wants to do is sin wants to come in and corrupt all of that. Sin wants to come in and take away our thoughts from the blessings that are all around us. And focus our attention on those things that lead us to criticizing God or doubting His existence. Where evil comes in and we hear the whisperings of evil over the love of God, over the providential care of God. Yes, our time here on earth is brief. When Psalm 144 says, O Lord, what is man that you regard him, or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Yes, it is brief in comparison to what we see around us. But short as it is, the duration of man's time on earth does not take away from its meaning if it is applied to godly service. Can one man change the world? Indirectly, because one person can have an impact on the people within your sphere of influence. And every one of us has a sphere of influence. In some cases, that sphere of influence is larger than another's. But each one of us has a sphere of influence. You two young folks have a sphere of influence. You older folks have a sphere of influence. You congregation have a sphere of influence, not only upon this young family that has come today, but upon each other, to encourage, to love, to help, to show God's providential care and love and grace to each and every one of us. And by doing that, we impact the people around us. And then it just continues to grow. And as it grows, God is praised because God's people have that impact. To pour yourself into a life. Now that life as we reminded us all today, that life has its responsibility to come to God in faith. But we pour ourselves into these lives. We pour ourselves into this place in which we are. I've joked around before, you know, that when the pastor shows up to a party, it kind of kills the spirit. And so that's the influence I'm speaking about, folks. How you, your presence as a child of God, can influence an environment, wherever you are. Your workplace, your home, wherever you happen to be, you can influence that by how you conduct yourself. How you show love, how you receive criticism, how you lovingly give it if it's needed. All of those things go into impacting the world for the kingdom of God. So yes, our life is brief, but if it is given in devotion to God, to His service, then it can have a major impact, because it was always God's plan that His word be passed down from generation to generation to generation. Because we are limited. We are not eternal. Our time on earth is limited. We have a start and a stop. Nobody knows what that is, but we have a start and a stop. But while we are here, we impact this world to the best of our ability by God's grace and through His enabling Spirit in a way that then continues. We impact a life. That life hears. That life responds through God's grace. That life then goes out and impacts. And by doing that, God's word continues. God's work continues. God's kingdom continues. And so each one of us has that within us to impact the world. Because we are created in specialness. We are created, as the psalm says, a little lower than the heavenly beings. We are crowned with the glory of God. We are created with a purpose to be God's representatives here on earth. That's what it means when we are created in His image. We are God's signposts, if you will. We are to remind the world to whom it belongs. We are to remind others of the impact that God can have in a life by how we endure sometimes. Christians are not exempt from suffering. And so even in the act of enduring under suffering, we can speak wonders for the kingdom of God, because others can see how we encounter suffering, how we endure suffering, how we can still continue to work and to praise and to be a part of God's community, even in the midst of perhaps personal tragedy. And so folks, never think, even when we look in the heavens, that our life has no meaning. Never think that it is insignificant. There is a significance to us. And that significance comes from our surrender to the Lord. As Kidner says here, as special as man's authority over creation is, it takes second place to our calling as servants and worshipers of God's glory and goodness. Yes, we are called to that very high purpose, but we're also called to be God's worshipers. We're also called to be followers of Christ. And the impact that that has on our sphere of influence can never be overestimated. And so I call you to that today, to be in that influence, to be surrendered to that godly devotion and worship, and allow your life to impact the life of another. Let me pray for you. Father, we come before you this day in thanksgiving for all that you have provided us this day. And we ask now that we will hear the words of your psalmist as he lifted up your praise of your name, and how that reflects you, and how when we ponder your name, your personality, your characteristics come into our hearts. But also, Father, about not being insignificant in the sense that our life has no meaning. Help us to know that when it is devoted to you, that you give it meaning. It is impactful. This is our prayer in Christ. Amen.